listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Friday. It is time for Creation Club. Good morning, Pastor Wirth.
Good morning, Andy.
Happy Friday. No fooling.
And the same to you.
Well, what do you have for us? We have some announcements this morning and some fun topics as well.
Right. The first announcement I'd like to make here is regarding the Lutheran Older Adult Retreat. Those who live in the Missouri and Illinois areas certainly would be interested in this. It will be held Wednesday and Thursday, April 20 and April 21. At Pere Marquette Lodge in Grafton, Illinois. A beautiful location, a really relaxing setting there. And the keynote speaker is Dr. Kurt Senske, who works with Lutheran Social Services of the South, and he has much to say there. And then also the plenary Bible study leader is Dr. Andrew Bartelt, professor at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, and he's often the Bible study leader at Christ Memorial Lutheran Church here in St. Louis, and that gets broadcast on KFUO, so our listeners would be familiar with him too, I'm sure. And they also, in addition to those speakers, there are a number of workshop selections that are available to those who attend. And I will be leading one of those workshops on Thursday morning. The fossil record agrees with the biblical record is what I'll be talking about. And so, but there are many other wonderful topics and reasons for people to want to come to this meeting. The registration fee is $100 per person. The deadline to register is April 12. The deadline to reserve your room and get the special rate is April 6, which is why I wanted to make the announcement today. So if anybody was on the fence and wondering if they should go, if you want to get that special rate for the room, April 6 is the deadline for that.
Are there any fossil sites? Can you see any visible? I know there are all kinds of really places, neat places to get outside in that area. Are you familiar with any?
Oh, well, yeah, all along those bluffs, you know, as you're going up Route 3 from St. Louis going up to Grafton, you've got those cliffs, and all along there, wherever you've got all those layers of sedimentary rock, all the limestone and so forth, you're going to find lots of fossils. You know, the majority of fossils are marine invertebrates. You know, you're going to find seashells and that kind of stuff, but there are other kinds of fossils that you can find along the way too. And here, you know, down where we live, down Arnold Imperial area, you've got Macedon Park. So there's all kinds of places around here where you're going to find fossils. Lots of rock, as there is all over the world. You see that, again, that points to the reality of what the Bible describes in the flood of Noah's day. If the whole world is going to be covered with water as it was in the great flood of Noah's day, what would you expect to find? Billions of dead things buried in sedimentary rock, rock that was formed by sediment carried by water. And what do we find all over the world? Exactly that. And here in Missouri and Illinois along the Mississippi River, there's lots of examples of that too. So yeah, if you go hiking there, there's always plenty to see. And in nature, bald eagles and the forests and so forth. But also, yeah, certainly if you're interested in fossils, there's plenty of that to be found too. But again, the details for the Lutheran Older Adult Retreat, that's April 20 and 21, with the deadline to get your room April 6 and to register April 12. If you have questions, you can contact Margot Wolf. Her phone number is 618-622-0264. I'll repeat that, 618-622-0264, and you can find out all about it.
And here's your chance to have your own face-to-face Creation Club on a Thursday with everybody.
There you go.
Well, it sounds great. I've enjoyed talking about it this week, and I wish I were a little older so I could go. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yes. Well, we'll have to have you as one of the speakers sometime. And so I'm sure the committee would be interested in that, too.
That sounds like a blast, too. That would be a lot of fun. Well, what topics do you have for us this week, Pastor Wirth?
Okay, first, a real brief thing. Since it is April 1st and everybody, you know, celebrates April Fool's Day, either by pulling pranks or telling jokes or something, we just want to remind ourselves that in the Bible, fools are those who say there is no God. Fools are those who reject God and His Word, and it's a huge mistake to do so. You know, while fools will scoff, you know, people, according to Romans chapter 1, men darkened by sin claimed to be wise, but they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Likewise, in First Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul reminds us the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. And that's important to remember as we consider these things that we do on Friday morning, because often we are intimidated by people who claim to be wise, people in white coats, you know, people in science laboratories and science classrooms and writing for science magazines and making science documentaries and so forth, and claiming that the Bible is wrong and that they know better. But as Ken Ham told you in the little piece right before we started this morning, you never have to be afraid that God's word is going to be proven wrong. It is God's word, after all, the one who created heaven and earth and the one who redeemed us by sending his son to be our savior. You know, you can be sure that God's word is the truth, and when we look at the world and rightly understand what we see there, we will see that it is in perfect accord with what God tells us in his word from Genesis chapter 1:1 onward. It's all true. And it's all one story. This is a thing we want to remind people about, too. You know, it's a mistake to think, well, I'll believe in Jesus, but I won't believe any of that stuff in Genesis. You know, really, what is told in Genesis is, you know, the background that leads up to the story of Jesus. And Jesus is found in every book of the Bible, including in Genesis. And so when, after Adam and Eve, our first parents, disobeyed God, fell into sin, God makes the first promise of the coming of the Savior. And that promise about the seed of the woman who would crush the head of the serpent is fulfilled when Jesus is born of Mary, dies on a cross, rises again. You see, it all hangs together, and to deny the truth of Genesis, you know, ultimately is foolish, because it undermines the truth of the gospel itself, which, you know, and the Bible is God's word, which is able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So, again, we're going to gladly go on being fools in the eyes of the world, fools for Christ, and we're going to go on preaching that message of the crucified and risen Savior. It is a stumbling block to Jews. It is foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God for our salvation. So, in the time that remains, let's go on to another thing, which is a Vox viral video. I don't know whether you happen to see this. I had not seen it until last night when I was looking around for articles, and I went to the Answers in Genesis website, and one of their posts yesterday, March 31, is a post in the News to Know by Dr. Elizabeth Mitchell, who is someone who works for Answers in Genesis. And the headline is there really proof of evolution on your body? She says, proof of evolution that you can find on your body is a YouTube video reporting over 14 million hits in its first 2 weeks online. And it is the latest presentation to prop up the human evolutionary story through our presumably useless body parts. In other words, we're going to be talking about vestigial organs here. And basically, ever since the time of Darwin, when he branded organs he considered non-functional as evidence for his beliefs, people who believe in the evolutionary worldview periodically trot this out to try to convince people that humans are the advanced animal products of random chance processes and natural selection, and that the fact that there are certain parts of our body that seem to them to be non-functional and leftover parts from our animal past. And they say, see here, there's proof for evolution. And basically, the video's just a few minutes long, and it's fast-paced. And, you know, if you didn't know better, you say, wow, that's really convincing. But Dr. Mitchell takes you by the hand and leads you step-by-step through each of their claimed vestigial organs and shows that they're wrong about that. And this has been, if you go to the Answers in Genesis website and type in the search field vestigial organs, there are more than 200 articles that mention vestigial organs, and some of them go into great detail explaining it. There's a video that's about 5 minutes long by Dr. Menton where he explains about it. They have books that explain about it. They have magazine articles. There's just all kinds of information and Answers in Genesis that shows this whole argument of vestigial organs is bogus. It is foolishness. It is not the truth. But it convinces people who don't know better. The examples that they trot out on this video, first of all, there's a muscle, the palmaris longus muscle, that is, if and they showed this, where if you turn your wrist over and put your thumb on your pinky and kind of curl your hands up, you can see whether you've got this in your arm or not. There's about 10 to 15% of people who do not have this in one or both arms. That's kind of an interesting factoid. But the point is, while it's not essential, just like your little finger wouldn't be essential, if you lost it, you can still function. It's there for a reason, and it's not left over from when we were apes swinging from the trees. And when you read the article, she explains that it does seem to have strengthen people's grip in a certain way, and they have... She goes through all the evidence that we don't have time for, but our listeners, again, if they go to answersingenesis.org and look for the news to note by Dr. Elizabeth Mitchell, the article Proof of Evolution on Your Body, she goes through step by step and explains why, you know, here again is a so-called vestigial organ that is not vestigial at all. Likewise, the outer ear muscles, she explains about that, goosebumps, the fact that we have a coccyx, that they always point to this as our tail, and it's not a vestigial tail at all. Dr. Menton explains, and as does Dr. Mitchell in this particular article, that the coccyx is a bone that's very part of our bony part of our body that's very, very important. It's not a leftover tail, but it's the anchor for the pelvic floor, and we've got all kinds of muscles that are attached to it, and it keeps our insides from falling out between our legs when we cough. You know, God designed us very well, including for the fact that we walk upright, and our coccyx bones there at the end of our spinal column are important because they anchor all these muscles that are important for keeping our insides where they belong. Likewise, the palmar grasp reflex is talked about, and so forth. So Dr. Mitchell explains in each of these cases that this vestigial argument, argument for evolution by so-called vestigial organs is bogus. You know, at one time, people believed that there were 180 vestigial organs in our bodies. But as a matter of fact, time and again, it turns out what people didn't understand what the function was. So just because there's something you see and you don't know what it's there for doesn't mean that it's not there for any reason or that it's left over from your evolutionary past. The more we study human anatomy, the more we learn about parts of our body that we didn't understand what they were there for before, including like the human appendix. People thought that it was useless. In fact, people sometimes had it removed needlessly. Now it turns out that people know better than to remove the appendix needlessly because it does serve a function that has to do with our immune system and harboring useful bacteria to repopulate the bowel when we've had sickness or something that may remove some of the bacteria that we need for proper digestion. And so there's things like this that people didn't understand what it was for. They thought it was vestigial when actually it wasn't vestigial at all. And so whether you're talking about eyebrows, eyelashes, tonsils, the thymus gland, male nipples, the coccyx or tailbone, body hair, the appendix, wisdom teeth, the pineal gland, you know, the muscles around our ears and so forth, people had claimed at one time or another that those were all examples of vestigial organs, and the more we study human anatomy, we realize, oh, there's really a purpose for it all. It's not vestigial. Now, sometimes in order to prop up their evolutionary ideas, evolutionists will change the idea of vestigial from being something that's useless. They'll say, well, it's not useless, but it's not as useful as it was when we were lower in our evolutionary past. And so it's reduced in size. And that's a real slippery one, too. You know, how do you know? There's no real scientific empirical proof for what they're claiming. But again, people sometimes fall for that. It's like, well, you know, according to the evolutionary story, your jaw is considerably smaller than it was in your evolutionary ape-like ancestors. So is your jaw a vestigial organ? Nobody's claiming that. How about your nostrils? Okay, if you would believe the evolutionary story of being ape-like in the past and having changed it in more recent times, our human nostrils are quite a bit different than that of the chimpanzee and our supposed ape-like ancestors. Is our nostrils vestigial organs? Come on, no, nobody claims that either. So, you know, it's a bogus argument, and yet they keep trotting it out. The same thing in that Vox video. They also did the embryological recapitulation argument, and that's been debunked so long ago, but they still trot it out because they, you know, it works. They show you a series of pictures of different kinds of organisms in their embryological stage early on, and they say, see, the human embryo at this stage looks just like, you know, whether it's the chicken or the frog or the whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, wait a minute, you know, that's bogus to use that argument, and it's been shown again and again to be fraudulent. You know, the human embryo is human. The DNA is human, and it's good that baby is going to develop into a human being. Well, it's already a human being, but it will develop into a human baby at birth. It's not going to be a chicken or a frog or something else. Each of those is independent, and whatever similarities are superficial, and a careful examination and understanding true science, you realize that is a bogus argument. But they still trot it out to try to convince people that we evolved over millions of years, instead of believing the truth of God's word, the Bible. You know, the one who created us tells us about it in Genesis. The one who redeemed us is the same one who created us. You know, Jesus is our creator and our redeemer, and in him is found all the wisdom of God. So don't be fooled by the lies of evolution. Believe the truth of God's word, the wisdom that is found in Jesus and his word. From creation to evolution, it is God's truth.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Pastor Wirth.
God bless you.
Have a blessed weekend.
You too.
Coming up in just a little bit, morning prayer. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.